Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is the Roman Catholic Foundation, UW-Wisconsin, against Walsh. Mr. Conley.
Thank you, Your Honor. At counsel table with me is the Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General, Bruce Olson, and my colleague, Jonathan Garlow. This case concerns, in the Supreme Court parlance currently in vogue, a metaphysical or virtual limited public forum, a phrase that a member of this court recently observed Shakespeare's Polonius would have found vile. Stripping away the terminology, it really is a case which concerns whether or not the University of Wisconsin acted reasonably by allocating finite segregated fees to student organizations, or by refusing to allocate those fees to student organizations that were inherently religious in specific activity. That allocation, the university determined, is consistent with its mission and purpose, the purpose of the forum, and consistent with the balancing of free speech, establishment law, and free exercise clauses of the Constitution. It is also, in the university's view, one that's balanced against the varied interests of the students and hundreds of student-led groups. It is also a balance which is neutral on its face, at least as best determined by a university which is struggling with the difficult balance between these three conflicting or potentially conflicting constitutional provisions. A struggle that this court is aware has already made its way to the United States Supreme Court once in Southworth and made its way back to this court at least on five different occasions for various issues after Southworth. And now is back again as the university continues to struggle with the proper balance. We believe that the court has ultimately to make the same determination that the university had to make, and that is, where does it draw a line on what constitutes religious activity, and is it reasonable to draw some line? What the university did here is determine what it found to be inherently religious activity, worship, proselytizing, and sectarian instruction, and said to the student organizations that those are the categories that we're looking for, and we want you to self-identify what those categories are. And if within the activity, those specific activities are part of the requested fee or the requested fund, then the university will decline to fund that much. But it needs to be emphasized that this wasn't a situation where the university chose to decline funding because of any organization's religious beliefs, or indeed because part of their activities involved religion. Rather, was that it fell into a distinct category, which even the Wisconsin Constitution says the state university may not fund, in that case, sectarian education. Admittedly, these are difficult lines to draw, but again, I think the question is, has the university done a reasonable job under the circumstances without entangling itself in the difficult task of discerning between specific activities?
You keep saying it's difficult, counsel. Why is it difficult after you've read the Supreme Court's opinion in Good News Club?
Well, I think you're right, Your Honor, that Good News has...
Seems to me every argument the university is making was considered and rejected by the Supreme Court in Good News Club. So what is difficult after that decision?
I don't think that Good News Club has resolved the issue that you're faced with here. To the extent that Good News says that you can, that religious organizations are allowed to have discussions within the four walls of a public institution. And if that's what we were dealing with here, then
rent free is the point. The lack of rent is a subsidy. Right? What's going on in Good News Club is that the university or the school is not charging rent, and therefore the group is being subsidized. It's the same as paying out money. The objection in Good News Club was they're going to hold religious services in that space. And the Supreme Court said, and that's not a ground for distinguishing. You have to follow a rule of neutrality.
However, Your Honor, that in that case, the court emphasized that it wasn't, the club's activities did not constitute what was described as mere religious worship. As in Good News, the University of Wisconsin is financing the activities of these religious organizations, including the plaintiffs here, the Roman Catholic Foundation Student Organization. 86% of their funding requests were funded, including the kinds of activities that the United States Supreme Court in Good News said was appropriate, but it reserved the question that you're now posing.
What difference does it make that you are funding other things if you're not following a rule of neutrality? Right? That's the kind of argument that if we let the Good News Club use the room 5 times a week, we don't have to let it use the room the 6th time during the week when they're going to hold a religious service. And that argument was considered and rejected.
With all respect, Your Honor, the only one who rejected that argument outright was Justice Scalia in a dissent that no one joined. Justice Scalia made clear in his dissent that there was no way to draw a distinction between religious worship and other religious activities, and therefore any effort to pretend that there's a distinction isn't one that the court should follow. But the rest of the court didn't join him in that view. There is a distinction. In fact, religious worship in this country has always been viewed as distinct. Now, it may be, and it may well be, Your Honor, that that's not a pleasing intellectual distinction, but it's one that courts have struggled with since the foundation of this country. And it's one that the Establishment Clause continues to require state institutions to engage in. And it's one that I think this court is required to engage
in. Therefore, a state is obliged not to provide fire and police protection services to churches?
On the contrary, Your Honor, that's exactly what the university is doing here. It's providing support to a religious entity, to a sectarian entity, and it's providing all of those services, but it couldn't go in and provide funding
you would answer my question, I would appreciate it.
Well, let me try again. If the city of Chicago funded the high mass in a police station or in the fire station, then that would be a violation of the Establishment Clause.
Answer my question, please.
I'm trying to, Your Honor, as best I can. Maybe you could rephrase it.
Do you think the Constitution requires the state to refuse police and fire protection services to a church?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
And why?
Because those are not inherently religious activities, worship activities.
Church is not inherently religious?
Of course it is, Your Honor, as is the Roman Catholic Foundation of Students. It is inherently religious and sectarian in its view, and the University of Wisconsin is fully funding the vast majority of its activities as it would any other student group. What it is not funding, and what I submit it has reasonably drawn a line on, is what we in this country have always recognized as distinct, which is religious worship, sectarian education.
Church.
Well, right. Again, Your Honor, I think that's a simple response. If we're going to say there is no distinction between the various functions of any religious organization, which is really what you're submitting by that question, then I agree. Then there's no distinction. But that's not what the case law has said. That's not what Good News says. Good News repeatedly emphasizes that what was engaged in there was moral instruction, sectarian focus, but moral instruction. And again, Justice Scalia laughed about that as a distinction and said it couldn't be done, but the rest of the court has not, and I submit the United States Supreme Court ultimately will not do that, particularly in the context of a university which has a broader function, an educational function, and one that was drawn carefully here by the university in a weighing of these factors.
How do you create a workable distinction between speech from a religious standpoint and religious prayer without creating an entanglement problem?
I think there is a potential entanglement problem, obviously. What I believe is the saving grace, if you will, here for the university is that they, in arriving at the function here, they put it on the students. Contrary to the way it has continued to be portrayed by able counsel from ADF, they put it on the students to self-identify. And so it was the students themselves who said it was worship, it was proselytizing, it was sectarian education.
But unless you look into what the money's used for, how do you prevent groups from describing events as, for example, Catholic perspectives on the world, and the reality is that it's essentially a worship service?
The reality is, Your Honor, that if a group chooses to so represent, that it's likely to be funded. I would think that, and in this case, you saw the examination by the university officials were to those activities which were described as worship, proselytizing, and sectarian education. And then they said, all right, tell us about that. What portion is going to that activity? Can it be distinguished so that we can fund your study? For example, Bible study is funded. And what portion is truly worship, and can we separate out the funding for those two? In other words, the university is doing the hard work that's required to avoid the Establishment Clause entanglements that would otherwise derive. And if anything, and this really comes back to Judge Adelman's additional requirement in his decision, and the reason that you find the university as the appellant here, rather than the appellee, it's that he was requiring that the university do more than take the descriptions by the students and examine the funding of those activities. He says that the university should look more deeply into the nature of the activity to determine if it is inherently religious, and then to determine whether it predominates the overall activity. And that is entanglement, Your Honor, or has at least the potential for entanglement that the university has purposely stepped back from. And indeed, I guess, come back to the fundamental proposition that the university is trying to adequately balance its real interests in permitting student organizations to freely exchange ideas, including religious ideas, without offending the Wisconsin Constitution or the Establishment Clause, and why I think the university has gotten this right through great painstaking effort. The only other category I want to talk about a little bit is the notion that's in Locke v. Davy, the notion of play in the joints, between a situation where the Establishment Clause is implicated, and I believe that it remains to be seen whether the United States Supreme Court will conclude in a Southworth-type virtual limited public forum that whether or not the Establishment Clause is at play. But even if it's not at play, Locke v. Davy, a fairly recent decision by the United States Supreme Court, makes clear that there is still room for a state institution to decline to fund religious speech. In that case, as in our case, because of a state constitutional prohibition, the state of Washington declined to fund a devotional theology degree. So too here, the state of Wisconsin has declined to fund devotional worship activities. And I think, if anything, while not a forum case, Locke v. Davy is probably the best indication of where the court is ultimately going to come out in balancing this issue. Given the time, unless Your Honors have specific questions, I'll withhold the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Certainly, Counsel. Mr. Lorenz.
May it please the Court. My name is Jordan Lorenz. I'm representing the Roman Catholic Foundation. This case is a metaphysical form case of money controlled by Rosenberger and Widmar and Good News Club. There is no Supreme Court decision that says there is a distinction between religious expression and this other kind of expression called worship or proselytizing, that the Establishment Clause requires government actors to go out and find and exclude from forums generally open to everybody else. The Supreme Court rejected that in Widmar, in Rosenberger, in Good News Club. In this case, this court rejected this in the DeBoer case. And this forum that they have here is not limited. I read from the Supreme Court's decision in Southworth describing the unlimited nature of the forum the University of Wisconsin has created with its student fees. Justice Kennedy wrote, "The speech the university seeks to encourage in the program before us is distinguished not by discernible limits, but by its vast, unexplored bounds. The state undertakes to stimulate the whole universe of speech and ideas." Now, with that kind of a description of the forum, Widmar's principle that any exclusion must be justified by a compelling state interest. Just because there is a limitation doesn't make this a limited forum. This court should do as Widmar did, as the court did in Widmar, and first look, well, what do they include? Because if one exclusion makes it a limited forum, then everything's a limited forum. And there's
The entity that you represent gets, as I understand it, in 07 and 08, approximately 9% of the funds that are expended. Could the university top expenditures at no more than 5% of total budget for any one group?
Yes, I think that they could have it. Yes, they could have it, because I think that would be a neutral time, place, and manner restriction, as long as it wasn't connected to the content or viewpoint that they expressed. So they just said, we give everybody, 5% of our budget.
No, not everybody 5%. Nobody more.
I mean,
5%
of the.
Nobody more than 5% of the allocation.
Right. Yes. The one thing
that.
Yes, I think that that's right. I would add, the student government and the university does not start out with a set amount. There's not a finite number of dollars, and then they fit everybody in. They do it the other way around. They take everything in and decide what they're going to fund, total that up, and then divide it up in a per capita for all the students to pay. So just to be clear on that. But I think they could set a limit and say X number of dollars or X percentage is all we're going to pay
That. Like something like $400 per student.
Yes, it's approximately right.
And that all goes into the pile, and then they disperse it to various groups, and your group got 9% of the.
Yes, but I do want to be clear that they don't start with the student amount that each student is paying $425. They start with everybody applying for these grants, then totaling it up, and then they divide it by whatever number of students there are, and then that sets the amount that the students
pay. They could do it the other way, I imagine.
Yeah. They could do it, but if the, and I only say this, and this may, I realize this may be off your question, if the university implies that there's this finite pot of money and they have to make all these value judgments, that's not how they do it.
Well, Counsel, there is a finite pot of money. You can't levy a per student fee of, to use federal government money, $1 billion each.
Right.
Right? There's only so much the students can or will pay.
Yes. And that
the
is,
idea,
yes.
You know, it may be that some state or federal legislators believe that there's just an infinite amount of money available, but it ain't true.
Although I would add that the student government at the University of Wisconsin has operated a court, approaching those levels, that I won't belabor this, they just simply don't start with a set amount. They start with what they want to fund, and then that gives them their total at the end.
And is it your position that the university has to allocate SUF funding for Catholic Mass?
I think that they would have to if their policy, if their forum limits are the whole universe of speech and ideas. I do not know on if that's their forum, how they could say, but we're also required to exclude a Catholic mass. I don't see any basis that they would be able to say that. The Establishment Clause doesn't give that, and this isn't a limited forum. It's limited to students, but it's not limited in subject matter as to how they're arguing on what they allow, because they want to stimulate all student speech.
Quaker Group applied for funding.
Has a Quaker Group applied?
Applied for funding.
Not that I'm aware of.
I should think on the university's position, that would be a terrible problem, because the Quaker position is that one's entire life is a religious devotion.
And that is correct, Your Honor, because it points to the fact if you have self-declaration, you can't have the self-declaration of the label by a group determine the constitutional standard. Because there's, I think there'd be Buddhist groups that meditate. You know, is this a worship service? And they don't have a theological category for that. So the excessive entanglement comes in is that the university has got to probe into what these groups are doing and distinguish. And we've even seen a shift here.
Judge Adelman seemed to require more of that probing than the self-identifying scheme that the university is proposing.
And I would add that the university required the students to self-identify. It wasn't a serendipitous discovery of what these students were saying. And the Good News Club, the footnote 4, says the labels are not important, but you look at what the groups do. And this is why we argue this is both content and viewpoint-based. They allowed leadership seminars to be put on by various groups. They allowed persuasion. Now, they use the term proselytizing, but proselytizing is just sort of a derogatory term for persuasion and recruitment. And they clearly allow other groups to recruit students and others to join their cause. So it's clearly both religious-based in its viewpoint and content that they exclude. And the university, this would be much similar. They're not in a dilemma if they simply say, if we're going to open our forum to the entire universe of speech, we can have neutral time, place, and manner restrictions, but we can't have content and viewpoint ones, especially when the Supreme Court at least 7 times has said there's not an Establishment Clause duty to go and exclude these issues of worship or proselytizing or whatever from a forum like this, from a forum of money.
Well, certainly you agree that different religions each approach worship in a different way.
Yes.
And doesn't that support the idea that worship is a subject or category and not a viewpoint?
Well, I think that it's both. I think that it can be both. And I think the problem for the university is here is what is the basis that they have for excluding this? They want to get this into a reasonableness standard. But when they have under Widmar, if they're saying this is a forum for students to talk about anything unless it's religious worship, and we think there's this Establishment Clause duty that we can't really point to anything but dissenting opinions and Supreme Court decisions that indicate that, I think that that utterly fails to be able to prevent it. And some of the things that they allow the other groups to do are very specific to the groups that might not have widespread interest, Wisberg, some of the others, that students aren't going to be accessing it. So the university has already up front made a decision. We are going to have a wide range of expression go on in this forum that some of it we're going to fund with a fee that all students have to pay that a lot of students aren't going to access. But we believe that that enhances the educational environment here at the campus when we expand the marketplace of ideas by widening the spectrum of viewpoints expressed. So to simply say, oh, but if it's worship, we suddenly have a concern about implicit government endorsement, all of this, I think, just runs totally contrary to the whole reason why they've set up this forum.
I'm interested in what other things the university can do Do you think it would be appropriate for the university to have a pro rata payout policy? That is, that no student group could get more from the fund per student than any other group?
I think that that would be a valid time, place, and manner restriction.
How about disallowing reimbursement for off-campus activities such as training retreats?
I think that that would also be acceptable. Like they have a policy where they will
all
not.
These things sound neutral as
right.
Judge Evans and Judge
yes,
Williams and
that's
I
correct.
Express them.
They have a policy now they won't pay for rent for non-university-owned buildings. I think that's along the lines of what you're talking about. Yes, those would all be acceptable. And there's other things that they do pay for and don't pay for, and all of the categories of the things that the Roman Catholic Foundation asked for reimbursement for met the categories except that they had religious content. And now this is a policy. The University of Wisconsin, from the record and southward, they've had a policy in effect since at least 1987 of barring the student fees to go to religious groups. Now, this has gone from a formal written policy to a formal unwritten policy. But for 22 years, they have had some sort of policy where they believe that they have not funded this, that they cannot fund this. This is why we argued that to Judge Adelman in a motion for reconsideration, that the relief he was granting us was inadequate, that he gave us a declaratory judgment, but no injunctive relief, no to say you can't enforce to the university you can't enforce this policy, no order for them to pay or at least consider responding repaying the $35,000 over the 2 years without consideration of the religious content or viewpoint of the things, as well as the two students that we have as plaintiffs requesting reimbursement of the student fee that they paid because the university had violated the terms of Southworth that said you pay this only when you can make the fee mandatory only when it's distributed in a viewpoint neutral manner.
Let me ask you this. You agree, don't you, that there's no secular equivalent to worship? Or do you agree with that statement?
I think, and I'm not trying to be, I think the Supreme Court says that's, in a sense, a theological question and not a constitutional one. Because to answer that and say, like, the Catholic Mass is the presence of Christ manifested or something like that is a theological statement. And what the Supreme Court said in Good News Club is that the labels don't matter. That you look at, well, what are they doing? They're singing, they're teaching character. This is not mere worship divorced from the teaching of moral values. That this is essentially in the mix of the types of things that they're doing. And so I think that is this worship and all of this, I just think is not how you determine what the Constitution permits or doesn't permit in this situation.
Well, if there is no secular equivalent to worship, doesn't providing funding to RCF for worship result in RCF getting more than secular student groups?
Well, no, because I want to understand your question. They're going to get more money because they're going to get everything that they would ask for, but the student groups that are made eligible, that are given eligibility to apply for funds, they get payment for everything that they ask for as well. It's not, I mean, now there might be something that's outside the parameters of what they pay for, but this isn't like an extra bonus amount or something like that. And the lobbying efforts of Wisperd, for example, when they're lobbying the state legislature on specific bills, there's a lot of people that can't, they're going to say, I disagree with that lobbying, so they're not going to be able to participate in it. So I would think Wisper gets extra money for things that only its members would benefit from as well. So I think that the fact of whether there's a secular analog to worship is not the right question, and that's what Good News and Widmar informs us to do. I also want to add is that Locke v.
Well,
Davey.
Let me go back and ask you just one further question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't the idea in Catholic worship that there's a higher being, And because there's a higher being, inherently there's no secular equivalent.
Well, I think that that's correct as a matter of theology, but I don't think that it answers the constitutional question because, and let me, this is the way I would urge Your Honor to look at this. Does the University of Wisconsin fund leadership training courses for the individual, through the student feed for the student groups? And the answer is clearly yes, they do. That they allow the Multicultural Student Coalition, the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Center, and the Student Leadership Program, the Asian Pacific American Council, and the CALS Student Council all do leadership training. Now, they have a perspective that they come from. To be a good student, to train a student to be a good leader, you have to teach them X, Y, and Z. Now, the Roman Catholic Foundation says, we believe, from our religious perspective, that understanding your duty to God taught by the scriptures and through the church teaching, that informs it. Now, the
and you're saying that the university wouldn't fund that.
Right, because they say, well, there's worship, there's elements of worship involved. And so what they're basically saying is you can only teach leadership from a secular perspective. And if you think, if your group thinks, well, you really need to connect with the metaphysical and with God, etc., that's not a valid leadership thing. And then all of a sudden there's this establishment clause bar. But we're talking about private speakers in a forum that has no limitations on subject matter for students, speakers. And I think that they simply can't do that. So to say, well, you know, if you're worshiping God, well, God is different than, you know, worshiping the New York Yankees or something like that. I think that that's a theological question that doesn't inform whether the university under the First Amendment can do this or not. And I think that's why the Supreme Court has said in Good News Club, the labels don't matter. You look at what they're doing, and if they're permitting certain things other groups can do from a secular perspective, Widmar informs and says, look, if this is the one thing they exclude, they have to justify it by a compelling state interest. I mean, Widmar had basically, in terms of a physical form, exactly what the University of Wisconsin is doing here with the metaphysical form of money. I also want to comment briefly on Locke v. Davey. Locke v. Davey is a free exercise case. Now, we do believe and argue that this violates the free exercise clause. But Locke v. Davey did not overrule Rosenberger and Widmar and clearly says it does not apply in a forum setting. Now, the university is trying to make it sound like Locke v. Davey revolutionized all of First Amendment jurisprudence under both the free speech clause and the free exercise clause in an expansive way, wiping out older decisions and saying that it is now legitimate for the government to set up a broad-based program where it funds everybody except the religious speakers. And that is clearly overstating it. And in fact, Chief Justice Rehnquist made it clear that they were talking simply about funding the education of clergy, and that there was this long historic tradition of against government funding of that, and it did not give an expansive revamping of all of First Amendment jurisprudence in this case. So Locke v. Davey is not does not justify the actions that the university took here.
Can you comment a bit on this distinction between declaratory judgment and preliminary injunction? I understand with the declaratory judgment you're not going to get attorney's fees and that sort of thing, but with the declaratory judgment there could be no further reliance or qualified immunity on the university.
I'm hoping we still get fees just with a declaratory judgment, but we haven't litigated that yet. I'm hoping that's not correct, but we'll see. I think that going after the officials in their individual capacity is not the only way to have repayment of the money. And I want to be clear. I think the injunction goes to several different things. First, that they can't enforce their policy in the future. We've had 22 years of the University of Wisconsin in some form or another having a formal policy saying we won't pay for religious groups. And that we argued that it was not, that the district court was not recognizing the reality to say, well, you have a declaratory judgment, and if they violate it again, come back into court, and maybe we'll do an injunction that time. Well, we think they've had a long history of wanting to have these kind of policies, so we needed something stronger than that. But also we have the issue of the money, that they basically, we're viewing this more like a back pay situation, that they owed money, they're not getting, and they can't then hide behind the 11th Amendment and run out the clock and say, well, we won't pay this, and then prevent from paying what we're obligated to do, saying that this is damages. I think an injunction say, consider repaying the $35,000 without this policy of we won't pay for proselytizing and worship in the mix of deciding this situation. So I think that that's what we're going at with the injunctive relief. Now, I think this court could find that if there's any money to come, it has to come out of the individual persons in their individual capacity. I don't think you need to get to that level, but if you do, we think Rosenberger and Widmar make this very clear, that this was, they're making this sound like this is so complicated, and I think what they're saying is basically we wish the law wasn't the way that it was. And so they're creating this uncertainty by the way they're...
What other public universities do? University of Texas, do they get student fees and disperse them to everybody?
As far as I know, yes, they do, because Rosenberger...
So none of these other public universities that have a fee system similar to the University of Wisconsin does any kind of line drawing on who gets and who doesn't get?
No, and just to be clear on one thing, that there's several aspects of the University of Wisconsin system, and just they have the big amount grants that we're talking about here. They also have a lot of smaller, they call them ASM operation grants, that are $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000, and they fund a broad array of groups and fund religious groups all the time with that. Now, this policy seems to only get invoked with the larger level groups, but I think that it is a policy it probably applies to these lower level ones as well. But there are universities that have not recognized what Rosenberger says and do insist on saying we exclude religious expression from funding. But we think that they are required by Rosenberger and by the nature of the forum when they're trying to encourage more student speech. Let me just say in summary, Your Honors, and then I take any other questions you have. That Rosenberger and Widmar control this case because this is a metaphysical form of money. This is not the government making public policy decisions to allocate funds. This is giving money that they collect from the students to enhance their ability to speak their viewpoints on campus. There is both viewpoint discrimination and a content-based exclusion here. The Establishment Clause does not require the University of Wisconsin's actions, and in fact, if there is any role for the Establishment Clause here, it is to show that the university is violating the excessive entanglement prong by its intrusive and detailed searching of the RCF's activities to make sure they don't go over some line which is not clearly drawn in any Supreme Court decision, to put it charitably. This also, when you have a religious-based exclusion, we believe that this also violates the Free Exercise Clause. We believe the relief below was inadequate, and we need an injunction clearly telling the university, in the future, don't enforce this policy. Reconsider Roman Catholic Foundation's submission of these $35,000 without this policy in the works. And also to the students who have paid in, we believe that they have been forced to pay into a fee system that violates the very terms of Southwark, that it disperses the money by this formal policy under a viewpoint discriminatory manner. If there are no further questions, thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Conley?
There's something deeply ironic in the Roman Catholic student foundation arguing that there's no way to distinguish between worship and other activities. It is a warning that was first suggested by Justice Brennan about efforts by inherently religious institutions to so devalue what it is that's entailed within religion to the point that we're saying we can't distinguish between them. That is not what the case law, the very case law that's relied upon here by the plaintiffs, says. In fact, the discussion that has really been emphasized in the argument you just heard was that there's not clearly an Establishment Clause duty to decline funding, rather than the opposite end of that question, which is there a requirement of funding. And what the case law has told us is there is not a requirement of funding. They want to distinguish Locke v. Davie as narrowly applying because it's not a forum case. But the reality is, even in the forum setting, the United States Supreme Court has not yet addressed whether or not there is the ability by states to decline to fund inherently religious activity, worship, proselytizing, or sectarian education. And in fact, that's what Locke v. Davie...
Counsel, let me come back to Good News Club. I went back during the argument and read the Supreme Court's description of what the space was being used for. The description is that it was being used to sing songs, hear Bible lessons, memorize scripture, and pray. Now, doesn't that sound like the very sort of thing that University of Wisconsin's rules say cannot be funded?
I guess there's two responses, Your Honor. I think it's unclear the extent of activities that were approved.
I'm just going by what the Supreme Court said. Sing songs, hear Bible lessons, memorize scripture, and pray.
Well, Your Honor, the Supreme Court also said that we're not dealing with worship. It said in the same decision you're quoting from, this is not mere worship, this is something more. And so the Supreme Court has reserved the question even in Good News.
No sacraments were administered, certainly. It was not a mass.
And that's right, Your Honor, and those are distinctions. Contrary to what has just been suggested, labels do matter. Labels are important within the Establishment Clause.
I wish you'd answer my question.
I don't see it succeeding. Is
the University of Wisconsin, under its current policy, willing to pay for proceedings at which the members of this group sing songs, hear Bible lessons, memorize scripture, and pray?
The short answer is yes, Your Honor. That's the troubling aspect of this case, is if you heard the descriptions that were given.
Yes, I don't understand what this litigation is about.
Bible study is funded.
Prayer is
not excluded. Students can gather in their activities and pray as part of the activity, contrary to what has been described. Look at the individual activities which were excluded, Your Honor. In the business, the Evangelical Catholic Institute, the primary training was for leaders to learn from a Catholic perspective, a sectarian perspective, how to talk to people about prayer, worship, and the Catholic faith. That's very different than what you've just described. Bible studies are financed by this university. Similarly, in the Busy Person Retreat, the spiritual director, a Catholic nun or priest, talks about spiritual mentoring and counseling to individual students within the context of the activity. In the case of the worship band, the only thing that the university wouldn't fund was a drum, which they said would only be used in worship activities. The university pushed them and said, well, are you going to use it for other songs? No, this is for a worship activity. Now, it may be that we find it difficult to draw those distinctions. But Locke v. Davy says it's appropriate for a state who's willing to undertake that effort to do so. In fact, it was mentioned in Locke v. Davy, the court said, well, there's this long historic practice of not funding theological education. And therefore, the United States Supreme Court deferred on that point. Well, there is a long historic practice in the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin not to fund sectarian education. And it has a right to continue to pursue that. Whether or not the Establishment Clause requires them not to fund it, it has a right to decline to fund it. And ultimately, you know, the response that, well, self-declaration isn't very satisfying because we're left for the individual institutions to declare whether or not they're engaged in worship, proselytizing, or sectarian education. My response is, exactly. If the Quakers were to come forward, and I don't know, Your Honor, whether a Quaker group, in a student group in particular, has come forward, but oftentimes they don't come forward because they recognize what they're engaged in is worship. If they want to come forward and say this is a legitimate exchange of ideas, we're going to be studying the Bible or other great texts of the age, then it probably would be financed just as other activities by the Roman Catholic Foundation, a student foundation, is now being financed. It's a distinction that has merit in a difficult area, and a distinction that I submit the University of Wisconsin has a right to make, and within the bounds of Locke v. Davy and the cases that have been dealt with in Rosenberg, Widmar, Good News, there is no case which says that the state doesn't have the ability to allow students to draw those distinctions. And for that reason, we would ask the court to uphold the University of Wisconsin's approach. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.